It's Chris-a-mania, brother.
That's a great question. Look at you, man, with the powerful questions.
This is the Chris Van Vliet Show.
Chris Van Vliet Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Van Vliet!
Welcome, my friends. How are you?
Doing well?
Well, that's great. Thank you for downloading this and joining me for another episode of the Chris Van Vliet Show. And boy, this might be one of the most anticipated interviews I've done all year. I mean, when I posted this on Twitter and Instagram and said I was going to interview the Young Bucks, you guys flooded me with a ton of questions for them, and I loved it. Thank you for that. And nothing was off limits in this interview. I mean, we talked about what was supposed to happen with Cody Rhodes' chair shot at Fyter Fest that Nick Jackson said was a gimmicked chair. We talk about their conversations they've been having with CM Punk. We talk about Pac's AEW status. We talked about the possibility of an AEW video game. We talked about whether being the elite will still exist when AEW starts on weekly television on TNT this fall. I mean, we covered it all. And I'm super grateful that this interview happened because I interviewed the Bucks about a year and a half ago with Kenny Omega at a Ring of Honor show in Fort Lauderdale. And it was cut short because the show was about to start. They were turning the right lights on and off to warn us that the show was starting. It was not the best interview, and we needed a redo here. And even though we had this interview set up at Florida SuperCon on Miami Beach, it almost didn't happen. I know you guys love hearing the stories of how this stuff comes together, and this is an epic one. I was at a wedding the night before with my girlfriend in Cincinnati. It's a wedding, so it ended at like midnight. We get back to the hotel, maybe 12:30 or something. I woke up at 4 a.m. to take the first flight back at 6 a.m. to then land at 9 a.m., got picked up at the airport, made it into the interview room with the Bucks with like 2 minutes to spare. Yeah, but boy, am I glad this worked out because the interview is awesome. And you know what else is awesome? You know what's awesome? These reviews you guys have been leaving me on Apple Podcasts. So please keep them coming. I'm going to read one on every episode. Hopefully more keep piling in. Now we've got like 126 of them. The show is like 2 weeks old. This is amazing. I'm glad you guys are enjoying this as much as I am. Steven Parsons 15 titles this Must Listen Podcast. He says, if you like listening to interviews by a genuine reporter who gets the best out of whoever he's interviewing, this is the podcast for you. CVV is quite frankly the best in the world at everything he does. That might be a bit of an exaggeration, but thank you, Stephen. Listen to this podcast. It's become a daily ritual for me. That is exceptionally kind. That's very good. Thank you very much. And thank you to Green Roads. Because as you know, the Chris Van Vliet Show is brought to you by Green Roads. They have the best CBD products, hands down, and not all CBD products are equal. Now, we've heard a lot about CBD oil and CBD products, and a lot of companies have come out of nowhere trying to cash in on this, and their stuff's, quite frankly, not very good at all. And a lot of them don't even have CBD in them. Green Roads, though, was founded by pharmacists. They're dedicated to improving the lives of people who take it. It's not just CBD oil, although their CBD oil is very good. Their creams, their gummies, everything they have is awesome. Even their CBD oil for pets, it just helps. It's helped for me with just kind of getting my mind maybe not be so stressful. And I've got a lot going on these days. So it's been awesome. Use my code Chris15 to get 15% off your order at greenroadsworld.com. The CVV show also brought into your ears by the microphone that I'm speaking into right now. Samson Technologies hooked us up with our podcasting equipment, and I can't thank them enough for that. Go to samsontech.com where you can see their full lineup of awesome equipment at surprisingly great prices. This is such a great conversation with Matt and Nick. I love how they speak so openly about literally any subject that I brought up. And they're not afraid to say the letters WWE, which a lot of people in AEW don't say. They'll just say some other companies. It's also fascinating to hear how close they were to signing with WWE, like really close, before AEW became a reality. So sit back, relax, please enjoy this chat with the Young Bucks. I feel like sitting in these big interview chairs, like we're on like a professional interview show here.
Yeah, it kind of feels like that. Yeah.
You gotta hold the mic up here.
All right, there we go.
Oh, that's it.
Nick has morning face though. He's like barely. See yeah, this?
I didn't sleep the night before this, so I slept my ass off last night.
He's even got that morning voice.
Do I?
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Thank God.
Thank you guys for making this happen.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
I know you guys are busy people. And the last time we spoke was about a year and a half ago.
That's right.
Ring of Honor. The interview where the lights were going out because the time was, you know.
Was Kenny with us? We were like sitting in the bleachers.
That's right.
That's it. I
don't even remember that.
And I don't think any of us had t-shirts on that day. I think we were
definitely
all just
Kenny
shirtless.
Did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, and I was like, that's it? Like, the way I got like 4 minutes. So thank you for maybe giving me more than 4 minutes today.
Oh, you know what? Now I remember. That was when we had like 8 interviews in like a matter
that's
of like
right.
an
yeah.
hour.
And the one guy took like 28 minutes that's for right. your 30 minutes of interviews.
Yeah, and anytime you're dealing with Kenny, he's quite a wild card. So we knew. We're like, this is going to be short.
But obviously a lot has changed in the last year and a half.
Yes, sir. Holy
from
crap.
The outside looking in.
Yeah.
What's been the biggest change for you guys, you know, actually being in this?
Jeez.
The biggest change? Oh, man.
Well, we were talking about this just a second ago, right, about the schedule is just so different. Like the travel. Like Nick and I, you know, we're so used to being on an airplane every 3 days. So as soon as we signed these contracts January 1st, like we barely traveled. So we've been home with our families, which has been amazing. But at the same time, it's been different for us because, like, we're so used to being on the go.
Yeah.
And I'm just always around. So I'm sure I'm just in the way of, like, you know, my wife's plans. And my kids are probably like, what's dad still doing here? But we've also had a lot of time to bond and stuff.
Sure.
And we've had to kind of, like, grow into these jobs, as executives, you know, as vice presidents. And I'll tell you the truth. Like, when we started, I'm like, what does that even mean? What does this job mean? I have no idea what I'm doing, right? But I feel like since then I've learned so much about what that means. And I feel like it's made me mature as a person, as a business person. It's just been really fresh and new.
We live on the phone.
Yes.
That's a big difference.
It's a never-ending 24/7 group chat about creative, or it's an email that a chain that never ends. You're constantly working. It's a lot of work.
What? Someone needs to contact us at every hour of the day, so that's a big difference.
You're always on. Yeah.
Tony mentioned you guys have this group chat. What is the title of the group chat?
I named it Creative the other day, actually, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I finally gave it a name. I'm like, we should probably name this thing.
There's multiple
group chats. That's the main one right now.
There's an AEW one. There's a Creative. There's a AEW Good Brothers one, right?
Oh, yeah, with Jericho's in that one.
There's a bunch
We have a collaborations work with Conan.
Jericho loves calling people good brothers.
Yes, he
loves it. Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah. So your EVPs, there's a bunch of EVPs. Obviously, you guys all have different roles. What exactly are the roles that you guys have in the company?
We're such a baby company still. I think we're still trying to figure that out. Like, we all kind of just, like, we're wearing 20 hats each.
So, well, I think we are behind the tag teams that are getting hired and signed.
For sure.
There's different, like, categories, you could say, like, Kenny he's taking his time on the women's division. He's got his hands all over that. He's helping out with a lot
of that.
You should
have seen
work.
Him at Fighter Fest.
Oh my gosh,
like,
yeah.
He had to three different matches he had to coach. So
he did great.
Yeah, and plus he had to do our match. So he was just he was nuts that day.
And then he had the run in later.
Yeah, all day long. Like at the end of the night he just passed out. Just he was dead. He
so
worked his butt
so this
off.
Is probably also a difference for you guys. Usually when you're working indie shows, you go, you do your appearance, you sign your autographs, you do your match.
Right.
Where would we find you guys?
Oh my God.
Backstage in an AEW show.
Never goodness. Stationary. Like we're always running around doing something. It's
pretty hectic.
It's really made my anxiety levels like come to another level. Like on show days, like I thought I was anxious before. Now this job, it's like, oh my God, Nick, like we're just looking at each other like, when are we gonna have time to even sit down and talk? When are we gonna have time to eat or talk to this guy or this guy? Like,
it's been fun though.
It's panicked.
It's so, like, challenging.
It's very challenging.
But you know what? It reminds me of like 15, 12 years ago when we were running our own little small company, and we ran it all by ourselves. So it's very similar, but this is obviously on a larger scale.
People don't realize too, like the fact that the Lucha Brothers are insane and they wrestle four times a week or whatever, right? So yeah. They're never going to make a call time because they're coming in from a different town. So they always show up last second. We're busy as it is. Yeah. So like at Fyter Fest, we didn't even have a finish called and the match before us was finishing. We had no finish
call. No way.
Yeah, it's just how it is. So we're just like looking at each other like.
Brandon, he's filming us right now for BTE. He says he's never seen us that nervous before a match because usually we're like cool, calm, and collected, you know?
We were freaked out.
Wow. And
to break kayfabe, as soon as our music hit, I went, oh my God, I don't even know my opening high spot. I don't even know my opening high spot. Yeah. What am I going to do? Yeah. This guy speaks Spanish.
Yeah. It's been hard, man. And a lot of guys, like, they have a week, 2 weeks, a month, they go and they plan their matches ahead of time or they rehearse. And like Nick and I have always been like, no, the red light's got to be on. It's show day. We call that thing. But like we're really pushing this now. We're like, maybe we should consider getting together a little earlier in the day or the day before perhaps.
We always had that. Yeah. Us and like Kevin Steen.
El Generico was pretty bad too.
We were all, the four of us, always calling things last second.
El Generico was famous for always never having his gear on and his match would be up next. He'd always be running around in silver underwear. Like his one boot, like not tied and like his mask like halfway on. And he'd be like going through the match panicked. That's us. We're El Generico now.
Are you able to take a step back though and realize like how much of an impact, you've only had two shows, how much of an impact having on the wrestling world as a whole?
Insane.
We've changed the whole pay scale for everyone in wrestling, which is awesome. Like, a lot of our friends are getting paid, and they're finally making money for the first time in their careers. Yeah. And it feels good. It feels awesome.
It just feels like they've put pressure. The pressure's been put on everybody in the professional wrestling business.
You have to kill it every show.
Yeah. Everybody's trying harder now. It's very competitive again. We need competition, and the industry needs it to survive. Yeah.
But even before AEW, you guys had changed the indie wrestling game. Like, it was you guys that were putting your fingerprints on this and going, you don't need to sign with a major company to make a living, to pay your mortgage.
Yeah, we saw Colt Cabana be the pioneer of that way, and He went to WWE for a minute, but after that, he went full on and just made tons of money. And I remember we'd be at little indie shows, and he would tell us his year-to-date. We were blown away. We're like, how is that even possible?
Well, and much of that came through the podcast, right?
Yeah. So
I remember we said to each other.
Sales and
and merch, but a lot of it was podcast stuff.
Yeah, and we were blown away. We're like, wow, we could do this then without going there?
Yeah.
And we pretty much took what he did and tried to do it.
Oh, we did it with YouTube. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Being the Elite was born. I think that's when we started going to the shows and we started seeing our lines just growing and our merch being bought more. And it just seemed like we were like, it's because of that, right? Like, you could just tell. So we started kind of like surveying and we were like, it is because of that. So we just put everything into this show. And once that happened, it was like it felt like people started knowing us on a personal level, and people were just rooting for us as people, not just like, oh, these guys are great wrestlers, but I actually like, you know, I like them because, you know, they're family guys and we like the same restaurants and I like drinking 12 cups of coffee like Matt does always on Being the Elite, and they're always tired. Like, we became more relatable, you know what I mean? And so the show really changed that. And I don't know what happened. We just felt like this boom happening on the independents.
Bullet Club got really hot too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
There's a multiple of things that went with it. New Japan was getting red hot.
So many things went
right.
The
timing was right.
Yeah.
The timing was perfect.
And we saw it and we capitalized on it. We're always thinking 6 months, a year ahead. So like, I think that's one thing that we've always done in the professional wrestling business. We're always looking at the trends. Like, what's trending? Let's go with that thing. Mm. You know what I mean? And a lot of people think that way.
You guys are leading the trend.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think everything we always talk about this, about like everything we've done in professional wrestling up until this day, we didn't realize it was training us for AEW. Like, we had no idea. We didn't know we were going to be executives one day or help write creative. Yeah. Like, I think the show, Being the Elite, helped us kind of condition us to like writing a show every week. We didn't realize it. We were like having a deadline.
I told Matt that too. We were starting to get burnt out.
Yeah.
And, we both said, hey, we're doing this show on a weekly basis for something bigger. I don't know what it is, but I hope soon it comes. And, AEW was born, and then we felt like, hey, that was the reason for it.
It's actually crazy that there might at some point be more people watching Being the Elite than watching you guys on TV. And that's not a knock on TNT.
Sure.
That's just the trend of how broadcast is going.
Sure, and I think once we are on TNT and we're able to plug it, I think that's going to help a lot.
Yeah. Oh, so being the elite will continue?
We always say we don't know, right? But like, how could it not in some way? I don't know if it's going to be the same format. I don't know if it's going to, like, who knows? I don't think that we can just get rid of it though, because it's so powerful of a tool for us.
Yeah.
I think it's always going to have to be around, like, in some fashion.
But right now you're doing stuff on Being the Elite that has a payoff on AEW programming.
Yes.
Can you do that week to week?
That's a good question.
It would be hard because we already have to write the stuff for the TV show, and then we would have to write more for the YouTube show. So
yeah, then are you going to save stuff and go, ooh, it might maybe be better on the YouTube show?
Maybe it would turn more into the old school vlog of us traveling and stuff like
behind
that.
Behind the scenes stuff you don't see.
It was way easier on us, so we didn't have to think of like stories. We would just, all right, just film me because I'm walking.
You know what's
I'm
so
driving,
great about?
Just film me do that. Like,
what's
that
so
was
great
easy.
About the show, too, though, is like if we can't fit the entire roster on the television show, we go, hey, we got Being the Elite.
Yeah,
people are still here, let's get them on this.
Yeah,
you know, it's like I think that's another way it could be useful going forward.
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys have you really have changed things, and you have this entrepreneurial mindset now. Was this something that was instilled at you at a young age? Like, were you mowing the neighbor's yard or something like that?
Pretty much.
I mean,
we were working with our dad.
Yeah,
he's
at a young
into
age.
Construction forever, so we were building roofs with him when I was like 12 years old. Same with you.
We came from very little though. Like we had a like my dad didn't make a whole lot of money, but he's hustled, right? So we learned that hustle and
that's true.
Working hard. And we had a big family with four kids. Family of six. So we, like I said, we didn't come from a whole lot of money. Like, we struggled. So I think a part of that also, like, now it's like we finally have come into making good income, but I'll never forget those days of struggling. So it's like, I think that's a big part of why we hustle and why we never quit. Maybe there's this weird fear inside of me of being broke again one day. You know what I mean? Because I know what it's like. So like, I never, like, Nick and I are never comfortable or complacent. We always are like, let's move forward. Let's go. We're at this convention this weekend. You know what I mean? We were home for a couple of days. You know, it's like, we still have it in our blood. It's never going to stop.
Yeah.
But as far as being an entrepreneur, I don't know, man. I don't know where that came. I think, really, would you say like the maybe 10 years ago, like we talk about the Colt Cabanas, the El Genericos, the Kevin Steens, the guys that were sitting behind the table, the Chris Heroes, the guys that were sitting behind the table hustling, and we would be at the same table, but we wouldn't have a single person in our line. And then we would get to the back and we would see them with just wads of cash. And we go, what are they doing different? You know, and I remember just watching them and seeing the way they would engage with fans and how they would be happy and inviting. And we would kind of be shy and just put our heads down. I'm like, we have to be more like that.
Yeah.
And then kind of look at their designs and go, okay, people like those designs. Let's do something similar to that. So it's really just all it is you're copying what you see and you're making it your own.
Yeah. I think the phrase is success leaves clues. So if you can take a little bit from each person. Yeah.
Right.
But it also, you know, wrestling's always been about telling the story within the ropes. You guys have completely changed that.
Sure.
Maybe because you're taking the clues from all these other people.
I think so.
But, you know, you're telling a story, you know, all the time now.
Right.
Some people say we don't know how to tell stories, though. We get that all the time.
Well,
we always will. But
yeah.
That just comes with how we look, how we carry ourselves. Right. And, I don't know.
Our style in the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's one thing we'll always be underrated for is our storytelling. But again, we're always looking 6 months ahead at where's this headed? And everything we do is very strategic in that ring. But the way we tell stories now, it's like if we plant something on our series, there's good reason for it. There's most likely going to be some type of payoff down the line. We're not just randomly putting stuff on there. So, yeah.
Well, speaking of storytelling, I've been a wrestling fan my whole life, as have you guys. I had never heard the term gimmicked chair shot before. So you've got to explain this to me.
That was brand new.
Yeah.
Cody was working on that for a good month, I'd say, right?
Yeah.
What was supposed to happen?
Well, the chair, it was the middle of it was so soft. Well, not soft.
They sanded
it's still
down,
metal.
Right?
Yeah. But, yeah, it was so thin, I should say. Yeah. It should have probably broke over his head if it was right in the middle of it. The edge of it happened to nail him in the back of the head, and that's what cut him up. And
so the chair would have folded over. He would have been wearing the chair on his head.
And it would have been easier than, like, it would have felt like, what were those?
Like
those
a cookie sheet.
Sheets that,
oh.
Yeah, it was as thin as that. So it should have been like that, but it didn't.
They just hit him at the wrong angle and busted him open.
Yeah, is Cody okay?
Yeah, he's all right.
He's okay.
He got staples.
I heard it was a dozen, but I guess he said it was
10, 12,
10 staples.
There.
Yeah.
But he's all right. He's okay. No
it definitely
concussion.
Caught him, though. Like, he was...
Oh, still, yeah.
Yeah, he was...
Lesson learned.
Well, then there's a bunch of fans going, well, he got hit on this side, and he was bleeding on the other side. It's like, Well, obviously the lip of the chair caught him.
Yeah, the lip caught him and it got him good. So
it's too bad. But either way, we knew it would carry controversy.
we warned them, and we were like, "This is going to be a big thing." And I mean, and it was, and it had its effect, and it worked. But I'm just glad he's okay. Honestly, it's scary. Anything with the when you're messing with your brain, it's freaky. Everyone is freaked out either way. I'm just glad he's okay.
Do you think that that'd be a spot you guys would try again? Maybe not. You know, this weekend.
I wouldn't have tried it in the beginning, in the first place. If Cody, maybe
I don't
maybe
think
Cody.
Tony will allow.
Yeah, he was pretty upset about it.
So. Really?
Yeah.
But wouldn't he have to have the okay?
Yeah, but I think they were hoping that it would go down differently.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Not as a botch the way it went down.
is there a chain of command? Like, is Tony the last person?
Yes.
Okay. So everything goes through him?
Everything goes through Tony.
So has there been ideas that have been run up the ladder, I guess, to Tony, and he goes, I don't think so, guys.
Usually he's really flexible. Yeah. Like, it is collaborative. But, yeah, like, if you're going to get if anything actually ends up happening on that show, Tony has heard about the idea.
He's okayed it.
But Tony, wins and losses, we'll get this the rest of our careers, right? They're going to go, the Bucks booked themselves to win. You know how badly we did not want to win any of the matches we've had? Like, Tony is the last guy. And it's a collaborative thing.
Until the last minute, we were like, no, we're losing in Vegas. Yeah. Tony's, nope.
He's the guy who signs off on wins and losses. That's him. Mm. That's his job.
Well, if I had to guess as a fan, then you guys win the tag team titles then. I mean,
who knows, right?
Why not? I mean, wins and losses matter.
We are 2-0.
I can't imagine us not eventually holding them, but
of course,
we'll see. We'll see.
How long? You don't have to tell specifically, but how long until we start to figure out the details of the tag team tournament?
Probably soon.
Soon.
We got brackets almost done.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow. Tony's got
a lot of good ideas for it.
And we're talking immediate. Like, this is one of the things we want to kick TV off with.
Okay.
So it's going to be a big deal. And then, like Nick said, the tag division is huge to us.
It's stacked, yeah.
So we're gonna really make this good.
Are there new tag teams that we haven't seen yet that you guys will be bringing?
There might. We've been
there's
talking.
Plans. There's yep. plans, yeah.
Now, when you guys talk about, having your hands on the tag team division, are Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy considered a tag team?
I think so.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, that's exciting.
Yep.
I think we could have a good one with those
it's
guys.
It's funny because, like we considered it, and we were like, yeah, that'd be great. But then they started getting so over, we were like, okay, they're a tag team for sure.
They can't come out without one another now.
Right, they're for sure a tag team.
Yeah. there's been a lot of questions surrounding Pac. Mm-hmm. What is the latest on him?
He's coming. I mean, eventually. Okay. Yeah, he's coming, though. I'm pretty sure. We're pretty much at 99%,
It's a work in progress.
Yeah, yeah.
It's obvious that Matt and I are big fans.
Oh, my God, yeah.
We met him like 10 years ago over in Japan, so we'll always have ties with him, and we want to work things out with him. So.
Yeah.
All right.
Looking good.
That's exciting because we haven't really heard any sort of update about him. No, it's Double or Nothing.
It's a priority for us, and I think we're going to make this thing work.
Good, because I think a lot of fans were going, well, if he didn't show up at Double or Nothing, he wasn't at Fyter Fest, maybe he's not coming anymore.
I think eventually we'll
get him. I think it's just a matter of trying to fit his schedule with ours.
Yeah.
Hopefully things work out.
If things didn't come together with Tony Khan and AEW, with the success of All In, were you guys thinking of starting your own promotion anyway?
Yeah. Yeah, actually.
We considered it.
It was either the last options we had before AEW became a thing is going to WWE or starting our own thing. And we were probably going to start our own thing.
It was hard, though, because we had some great offers on the table.
Was WWE one of those offers?
Yeah, yeah. Wow, yeah, we talked to them endlessly,
Wow.
And at one point, I remember me, Nick, and Kenny were in a room because all of our deals were up around the same time. And we got off the phone one day, and we looked at each other. I said, I think we're all going to WWE.
Yeah.
And it was that close. It was that close.
Wow.
And Tony came to us at the right time, and he just made the better offer, And I'm not talking financially. I'm talking, hey, you guys could run this thing.
Yeah.
And that's something that we couldn't get elsewhere.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I want you guys to hire your people,
you can't put a dollar amount on any of that.
It's like someone saying, hey, I want you to make a movie and you can hire all the cameramen, you can hire all the writers, you can hire all your friends to be with you.
So it's kind of like an Adam Sandler movie.
It's like, he gave us the keys to this thing, and it's like, you can't say no to this,
Isn't there also a certain point where you've made enough money that, like, what's another couple hundred thousand dollars or whatever that's like, it won't really matter.
No.
You know what I'm saying,
yes.
Right?
You can't put a price tag on mental health.
Yeah. Sure.
And being around all of the people you love and actually being able to be creative and express yourself,
you know,
can't put a price tag on that.
One thing that took us out of the race for going to WWE was the amount of dates that they would want us to do. And we're like,
but they even offered us a limited schedule.
Really?
Yeah. But we have young families. Even with that limited schedule, it was like, God, I can't imagine being home for 2 days for my kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A week.
But anytime we would mention the reasons why we were afraid to go, they would say, okay, well, we'll do this. They had an answer for everything.
Yeah.
So that's why when we got off the phone that one day, the three of us looked at each other and said, well, I guess we're going to WWE. Like,
they're
how could you
convincing.
Say no
yeah.
to that?
Yeah.
And then, you know, we just got a hold of the cons, and that
was
it. Yeah. Was
the plan to go to the main roster? Because a lot of people come in, to NXT.
Yeah.
They were already talking big, big plans for us. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But, I mean, again, we were never – one thing about the three of us, we're very unique, is – like a lot of the boys,
hearts, you know, we knew what we were going to do.
Yes, but a lot of the boys, their end game is WWE. We gave up that years ago.
Yep.
Like maybe when I was like 23.
You know what's funny
you
is
know?
When we were doing extra work for them in like 2008, maybe.
Yeah.
Like we would be backstage and we're like, God, this environment sucks.
Yeah.
It's like, why are we walking on eggshells when we're trying to get a job? Like, imagine when we have a job here, how it's going to feel. And I always remember that as a young, adult. I was like, I don't think I could do that.
Yeah, I remember we'd have a conversation.
I could live that life.
We would look at
and
each other and go.
It kind of broke my heart, though,
yes.
because at that time I wanted to be a WWE superstar. Like,
right.
that was my goal was to be there. And then being back there, I was like, God, this is terrible.
And, like, for us, like, we suck at people, like, talking down to us. And, like we – authority figures, like, we just rebel. It's in our spirit to, like, be, you know, DIY. And we're like, we can kind of keep that same spirit if we do this other thing. Like, why should we stop being who we are?
Yeah.
And we could still put out the content we want to put out. Like, why should we stop that?
I think, like, 5 years ago when we started making very good money, we're like, oh, yeah, all right. We don't need to go there ever.
Yeah.
So
we could have stayed in ROH forever and been fine,
yeah.
or done independence and been fine. And like the original question, you're like, were you going to start a wrestling company? We talked it. We kicked around the idea.
Yeah, us, Cody and Kenny, we were thinking of. Like,
was this the rumor with JR? Remember? That?
No.
That was a different rumor.
That was something completely different. I don't know how that got started. Actually,
yeah, I don't know who leaked.
We were talking
the
about doing maybe
that.
What 4 big shows a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were even talking to like Netflix and things like that. To maybe get things going, but we didn't have to. So
yeah,
I'm glad everything worked out.
Is the plan with AEW still 4 big shows a year?
I think so.
4 big pay-per-views, I think. That's the idea.
Well, Double or Nothing, you said last week, would be a continuous
we'll be back.
Yearly
we'll
show.
Do another one. Vegas was very happy. And we love Vegas because it's only a drive away from us.
Yeah,
so.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to do that again for sure.
We're still planning our schedule. Like, we don't even know yet. It's still kind of out there.
We just got a big lineup, though, to see what we liked. And we got a whole
lineup. I know we
want
to go to
cities.
The UK. That's a big – with the ITV deal.
Like,
we would like to go there.
How excited people are hearing that right now.
Yeah.
There are so many UK wrestling fans.
Yeah, we have to go.
Yeah, we'll be out there.
Canada. A lot of people are asking about Canada.
I would love to go to Canada.
Tony loves Canada.
Canada.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tony loves Canada.
I mentioned to Tony that I'm from Toronto. He's like, did you know that I own the Four Seasons?
He loves talking about that.
I know.
He loves that hotel. He loves that hotel.
Like, of course you own the Four Seasons.
Yeah, I think Toronto would be a great city, right?
Great, yeah. We'll be there eventually.
Tony's talking about doing a big show in the UK, so
yeah.
I don't want to give spoilers.
Anywhere we go, though, now the fans are like, when you come in here? And it's like we always say, like we're going to be touring, so eventually we'll come.
Yeah.
Like,
we'll be around
the
everywhere.
The plan is to go everywhere, so I don't know when, but.
Well, what size venues can you start running, though, when you start touring?
That's
it
tricky.
Depends. Like the UK, I feel like we could probably do a pretty good sized one,
wouldn't
you think? And probably Toronto as well.
The rule of thumb I always go off of is if it's a big city, it's a big building. Smaller building.
Yeah. I think we're going to look at 5,000 to 12,000seaters.
Yeah. That sounds fair. I mean, that's what's on the schedule right now. So
yeah.
I think we'll plan accordingly, too. We don't want to get too far ahead and then, you know, something happens like the what happened with New Japan in Dallas, you know what I mean? And not take a shot at them. They shot high, yeah, but they couldn't fill it up. Like I just don't want pictures on the internet of empty seats. That's our biggest thing. Like, yeah, we want to plan ahead and be smart about this.
But is it better to sell out a 4,000 seat place, mm-hmm, or to put 6,000 in a 10,000 seat place?
An economics guy, the finance guy will say 6,000. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know.
It's all about perception. Yeah. The internet's so funny. Like,
it's so funny. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's hard to even explain. Like, I don't know. What is right? You know, what is wrong?
I think the bottom line is the dollar, right? So, like, how big was that building? Okay, how much did that building cost? Did it cost more? Did you make the money back with the six? Like, it's economics. Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, me as a professional wrestler, I'll go, I'd rather sell it that 4,000 so that's it looks true. Awesome. We rocked that building. You know?
The perception of it is you sold it out. No matter how many people you put in the building, it was called a sellout. Yeah, so, it's always going to look better.
Well, then if you run small buildings forever, you'll always sell out.
Exactly.
But at the same time, we're ambitious, and I can't see Tony being like, yeah, let's just run theaters forever. Like, he's like us, and Cody and Kenny, they're the same. Like, we're gonna shoot high, and we'll probably do, you know, some massive buildings also.
But you're gonna get to some cities where there's gonna be a real arbitrage between, like, all right, it's either this building, it's 2,000, or this building where the NBA team plays.
Yes.
You know?
We're going to have to make a decision
right
now.
It's going to be tough. And I guarantee you there's going to be cities where we don't do as good as we usually do in Chicago. And that's just the nature of the business, though.
It's so strategic, though. Like, we have so many people, great people, like Dana, my wife, and Chris Harrington. Like, these people, they pull the stats, you know, and they could tell us. Like, I'll even ask, like, hey, how'd we do in this city? And they'll let me know. So, like, we're not going to just throw a random dart on the map and be like, let's do a show there. Like, everything is planned ahead. Like, we're thinking about these things.
What did you think of Revival's tweet that Revival's the best tag team?
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah. I mean, they're great. I mean, I laughed at it a little bit, in truth. Like, I was by myself and kind of gave it a little chuckle.
They specifically named you guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's ballsy, right?
They didn't mention our Twitter names, though.
No, I mean, I don't think they mentioned anyone's Twitter names. Okay. It was just like a list. No, I saw that, and I love that, like, when people aren't afraid to poke the bear. Because I'm like, you know what? That's probably something I would do. So I got entertainment out of it. I don't think they're better than us, so if that's the question.
it's always fun, though, to book fantasy cards and stuff like that. And I think we would have a great matchup with those guys.
Absolutely.
If for whatever reason we ever worked with WWE somehow. But I don't know.
Or if they ever leave.
It's fun to look at, you know.
Well, from the start, the narrative's been that, you know, AEW is not competition to WWE. We're going to be an alternative.
Yeah.
Sure doesn't seem like WWE is seeing it that way anymore.
Yeah. It's funny, huh?
Isn't it?
Yeah. It's a funny thing.
But you know what? They hate us, I think. So.
Well, why wouldn't they? Like, we're disrupting everything.
New Japan hates us, too. So.
I get
it. New Japan hates you now?
Oh, are you kidding me?
I think everybody looks at AEW as competition. Because, I mean, we're this new thing. Nobody knows what – like, people are afraid of the unknown, right? Yeah. So, like, who are these guys? And every day you see a new headline about something we're doing. So, like, it's intimidating. And people are fearful of change. I get it.
But we're going to stay that way. We're going to be the alternative and – We really do mean it. Like, we want to be different from every other company that you see. And I feel like the first two shows that we've done, we've given a different type of show every time we've done it. So,
yep.
Well, what was missing from wrestling as a whole that made you guys want to start your own company?
Jeez. I think something grittier and edgier and for us, tag team wrestling.
Like, that's a big one, actually.
It hasn't been around, man. And we just want to show people, like, tag team wrestling can be a semi-main event, a main event. It could be a big match. It could be one of the top three matches on the show. You know, when's the last time you saw that? So for us, that was always a big deal. It's like, if we're going to do this, we're going to show everybody what we've been doing for a decade on the independents. Because on the independents, we were the main event for 10 years doing this act. And it works. And it drew people to the buildings like we've seen in the past, you know, the past several years.
I think storytelling, too. Like,
sure.
Man, everything's so hot-shotted, like, with what you see on TV these days. It's like, come on, try to give some type of long-term story that fans could just dig their teeth into, you know what I mean? And I feel like fans want that. It's
been
a while.
Everything is so rushed. Like, someone was complaining yesterday at our table here at this convention. They were like, within 2 weeks, they've started a new story, and they've already ended it. And I might have missed a week, so I'm like, what happened, you know? Yeah. And I don't think there's anything wrong with showing a character just a little bit on 1 week, maybe not even showing him the second week, bringing him back the third week. Like, it doesn't have to be so much every show. We give away a lot. Like, and I think that with the world the way it is now, like with technology, it's like everybody thinks that you want it right now, right then and now. It's like, no, it's like, listen, people watch Netflix. People watch Showtime. You know, Dane and I watch HBO every week. You know, Pretty Little. What's the name of the show? Big Little Lies. Like every week, I'm like, I'm invested in this thing. Yeah. And they only give you a little bit every week, but they give you just enough that you want to come back 1 week later. Yeah. I still think, like, our habits as TV viewers, like, we want to come back and watch. You don't have to give us everything yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think we're hoping to do a little bit of that. Yeah.
Who's the name that people tweet at you guys the most?
Jeez.
I'm just an interviewer of you guys, and I get tweets all the time about ask if they're going to bring this person in, ask if they're going to sign this person.
That's an easy one. It's CM Punk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're all hands down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll be honest, like, of course we would love him to come to our company. At this time, though, I just don't think he wants to. So.
Yeah, it's going to be his – when he wants to come back to wrestling, it'll be his decision.
Do you think it's a when or you think it's an if?
If. I think it's an if.
God, we would love to. Like, Matt talks to him all the time about it, and it's just the timing's not right, I guess. So.
You got to love – professional wrestling, man, this is – he knows better than anybody. This is the most demanding thing in the world.
Yeah.
And you can't just, like – find yourself back in it one day and be like, okay, I guess I'm doing this again. Like, you really have to want to do it, and that's up to him. So,
but you guys could probably create a situation where it's like, if you only want to come once a month,
sure,
we can make that happen, Phil.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. We'll see.
You see that, guys? I don't know. Let's see what happens. Look, I asked Tony the same question. I'm interested to hear the answer from you guys. What do you think is the 5-year plan for AEW?
Man, 5 years. It's probably just to be a different alternative, like I said earlier. We feel like there's a chance to get a lot of the fans that stopped watching wrestling, like from the 90s and early 2000s, the Attitude Era that a lot of people like to call it. A lot of those fans have been turned away from wrestling.
Yeah.
And there's a few million of them. And I feel like there's still,
like, 10 million of them.
And I feel like they're still wrestling fans, but they just don't like what they see on TV now. So if we could get some of those fans back, and if we could get them to watch our product and keep them, I feel like that would be the biggest thing we could do in the next 5 years.
Yeah, he's right. Like, so many 30, 40-year-olds come up to us all the time and go, you made me fall back in love with wrestling. I gave up on it. And your guys' new vision has given me hope. Like, I want to be a fan again. There's just been no reason for me to be a fan again.
Yeah.
And we're bringing them back. So, like, if we – in 5 years, if we can, you know, be popping a great rating every week, still selling out buildings, if we've given, you know, an alternative place for people to make money and support their families, man, that's great.
I just have to say thank you as a fan, also as a journalist, for the access that you guys have given me, the access that AEW has given.
Yep. Sure.
WWE would never let any of their stars talk to an open mic after a show. Like, that is crazy that you guys allow
We
that.
Want to be different cool. like that, though.
It feels like it's more like cool. a sport, you
yes.
know what I mean?
Yes,
and
exactly.
Tony is big into that, obviously.
Yes, and I'm not sure if we're kayfabing those interviews or not. Like, it walks a very fine line.
It is. It's yes. kind of, I mean, New Japan cool, does the though. Same thing, right?
Well,
Not to this extent.
They don't ever break
right.
character.
I think of it like I always loved the NBA when I was a kid, and they would go into the locker rooms and
the
players
would,
I mean, in the locker rooms, the players would be changing, and they'd put a mic in their face.
Yeah.
And be like, here, talk. And I'm like, and it's so natural.
It feels raw, too. You
yes.
know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's cool.
And, this goes back to people liking wrestlers on a personal level.
Yep.
Because they're not necessarily in full character, because they're not in their costumes, and they're not working a crowd. They're in an intimate environment with a microphone.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people like watching interviews like this. They go, that's who these guys are. Yeah. I get it. Okay, I like them,
and
or I don't like
we
them.
We have to give credit to Tony for that, because that was all him.
Yeah.
I think it probably comes with him owning the Jaguars, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And it feels more like a sport because of it.
Yeah, although, like, Chris Jericho on camera there and Chris Jericho off camera.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, hey, you know, something happened in that match with Kenny. You know, Kenny broke his nose. What happened? And he's like, I punched him in his face. I'm like, well, not really. And then afterwards, like, the cameras were off. He's like, hey, Chris, it was good to see you.
That's awesome.
But what?
Everybody's different, I guess.
Yes, no,
MJF's another one of those guys.
Well, like, MJF's always on.
Oh, he is. Yeah.
And that's probably another person that people tweet me about all the time. Like, what's he like in person?
Yeah. How funny.
And I'm like, he's a dick.
See, he's going to be a big star.
Oh, my God, he is. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I was going to say that. That would be hard for us to, like, try to like, oh, the red light's on. Let's act like the crazy Young Bucks.
We've always
like,
been pretty real. Though,
well, we, you know? And people watch, like, they watch this vlog every week from the from the airport, and I'm crying about how I miss my wife and stuff. So it's like, I can't necessarily, they know who we are. Like, so.
Is there any talk of making an AEW video game?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. This is very exciting. Yeah.
Dana's in, she's just giving me the nod. Oh, don't talk about it.
Sorry, Dana.
Don't talk about it.
We're going to have a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
What else can't we talk about?
No.
I think we've covered everything, right?
Let's see. Yeah, we
everything that'll get us heat.
Yeah, let's see. I think I got it all here. I never look at these things, but
I'm like, where did this thing come from? You didn't have it out of the entire interview.
I saw Pac on there.
Yeah. You can read this writing? This is terrible. This is very messy. All right. I super appreciate you guys taking the time to do this.
Sure.
I know that we needed a redo after the very quick interview with the lights going out with Ring of Honor, but I'm glad we're doing it now because so much has changed and so much is going to continue to change.
Yeah, let's do another one in another year and a half, see where we're at.
It'd be better if we did it before then. If
we'll see you next week.
Oh, yeah, we'll see you next week in Jacksonville.
That's true. I'll see you this week. I'll see you on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, this week.
It's in 6 days.
This will be uploaded this week. So.
All right on.
Yeah,
cool. So check out our show then.
Yeah, Fight for the Fallen.
Yeah, Fight for the Fallen, Being the Elite, and the Chris Van Vliet Show. There you go.
There it is.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, it's everywhere. Yeah.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Well, there you have it. A lot to unpack from that interview with the Young Bucks. A lot of nuggets of news there. A lot of nuggets just about life in general, too. I found that really inspiring from an entrepreneurial standpoint. Thanks to Matt and Nick for taking almost 40 minutes of their morning to do that. And you 100% need to watch the YouTube video of this interview because at the start of the interview, they super kick me. And that's pretty amazing. I was a recipient of a super kick party. Yeah. Thanks to Green Roads. Use my code Chris15 at greenroadsworld.com to save 15% on their CBD products. Also, thanks to Samson Technologies for supporting the show with the audio equipment that we use. Fight for the Fallen. It's this weekend. I'm going to be in Jacksonville for the show. It's about a four and a half, five-hour drive from where I live. I'll be there at the show. I'll also be there getting interviews. So if you're there, please stop by, say hi. I will give you the best high five of your life.